All right, for those that haven't been in my class, thank you for coming tonight. I'm glad that you're here. We're studying heaven and talking about longing for home. And so we've been through a lot of different things already through this series. We are on our fourth week, I believe, and we're only on three verses. We're just going slow and talking about home. And so each week I give out a little journal entry. This is not to turn into me. This is just for you and to have some extra Bible study and sort of remember what we've studied and challenge your brain and challenge you in your Bible. So that's what that's about. We'll be in Revelation chapter 21 tonight as we get back into longing for home, looking at these glimpses of heaven. And I tell you, this series, this has been exciting for me, but this lesson tonight, I have debated on whether even to present it because I've never heard it taught. I've never heard anyone speak on this subject. And I really spent 3 weeks digging through the Bible to make sure what I was reading in the Scriptures was exactly what I was reading. And we remember a few weeks ago we talked about no more sea. There's no more oceans in heaven. But tonight, we'll even stretch our imaginations even further as we come back to Revelation chapter 21. And we come back to this beautiful book, this beautiful chapter. And we've noticed recently through our series, we've looked that heaven is a prepared place. You remember Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. It's a prepared place. Heaven is a permanent place. It's not going to disappear. It's not going to vanish away. It's permanent. It's eternal. Heaven is a perfect place. God does not do anything halfway. He doesn't skimp on the materials. He does everything perfect. So heaven is going to be perfect. We've also seen that heaven is a peaceful place. And we talked about that last week, or the week before. And last week we looked at heaven as a precise place. We looked at our loved ones, our friends, and our families that are already in heaven. What are they experiencing? And what will we all experience one day? Will we know each other? Will we be known by our same name? Will we know and be aware of who we were on earth? We talked about all that last week. We skipped over verse 2 last week and went right to verse 3, but tonight we come back to verse 2. And the Word of God says, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. The holy city is talking about as prepared as a bride adorned for her wedding day, for her husband. Now, for those ladies that have been married and had that beautiful wedding, or even just a simple wedding, the wedding day was special, and it should be special. The wedding day for a bride is a whole lot more special than it is for the groom. You know, we just comb our hair and put on a suit and we're good to go. Maybe we forget deodorant or aftershave or something, but we're good to go. Not so for the bride. I remember I slept in before our wedding. I think our wedding was like 1:30. And yeah, I slept till about 11 o'clock and got up. My dad had made me breakfast and put everything on I needed to take with me, and I went to the church. No big deal. I mean, it was a big deal, but there wasn't a lot of preparation on my part. But I remember hearing about my wife afterwards, and she had a hot tub, morning breakfast, and you know, just pampered with her hair and makeup. And I mean, it was a whole morning routine. It was hours and hours. So a bride is going to go through a lot more than the groom to prepare for this special day. They take great care in the preparation. They purchase a beautiful wedding gown. They have this beautiful gown custom fitted so it fits them nicely and perfectly. The wedding venue's decorations are carefully selected. The guest list is reviewed and announcements are sent and made sure they're sent out and not just sitting in a box somewhere in a corner like I don't know if that happened. They go over the details of the wedding with a coordinator or with the pastor or with the pastor's wife. They review the receptions, appetizers, and meal selections. Every detail got to be perfect and prepared. They have their hair beautifully styled. They have their makeup expertly applied. Many try to follow an old Victorian rhyme on their wedding day. Ladies, remember something old, something new, something borrowed, something blue, and a silver sixpence in their shoe. Not many of us probably had silver sixpence in our shoe. On this special day, the bride was taking great care to adorn herself for her future husband, the bridegroom. The Bible says, "And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." Now, brides, you have prepared yourself for your wedding day. Do you not think that Jesus has prepared heaven for us? Jesus has got heaven exactly perfect for us. When I had the privilege of officiating a wedding or attending as a guest, I have one thing I love to do in a special part of the service. I enjoy watching the groom's face when it leads up to the moment that his bride steps through the doorway. His countenance changes. He'll either weep, he'll either smile so big you think his face is going to break. He has just seen his bride adorned for the wedding. Just think what it's going to be like when we're presented to Jesus. Because we're the bride. The church is the bride and Jesus is the bridegroom. As we see in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 2, God has prepared heaven. But more specifically, God has prepared the holy city, the New Jerusalem. Just as a bride prepares for a wedding day, God has prepared the New Jerusalem, the holy city, for us. So what does that mean? What does this holy city, this New Jerusalem, what does it mean? Well, as we're getting ready to see through the remaining verses of this chapter, heaven is a profound place of beauty. A profound place of beauty. John was taken up into a great and high mountain and was to be shown the bride, the Lamb's wife, that's us, the church. And then immediately the emphasis changes. This is verse 3. And it switches to the holy city, the New Jerusalem. And it was descending out of heaven. People have asked, where is heaven? It's up. Where did Stephen look when he was getting ready to be martyred for his faith? He looked up. Where did Paul, when he was taken to the third heavens, where did he go? Up. When we are translated from this life into the next, where do we go? We go up. Heaven is up. But it's going to descend from the third heavens and come to the earth. Verse 9, we'll skip a few verses. We'll cover those in more detail in coming weeks. Verse 9, we pick up about this city and its profound beauty. In verse 9, the Word of God says, "And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which have the seven vials full of the seven last plagues." This is one of the angels that had just poured out part of the judgment of God on the lost world. And he has a new assignment. And he came and he talked with me, saying, "Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife." And he carried me away in the spirit of a great and high mountain. I think I said verse 3, it was verse 10 actually, where he takes him up into a high mountain and showed him all that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. The New Jerusalem, the holy city that's going to come down from heaven, is a city of great wonder. One only needs to read a few lines before seeing how extremely beautiful the New Jerusalem is. its splendor, its glory, it's unimaginable. There's no way to humanly comprehend the great beauty and the great worth of the heavenly city. You say, well, what about the old Jerusalem? Is this just going to come down and rest upon it? No, the old Jerusalem's going to be gone. The old earth is going to be gone. It's going to be judged in the preceding chapters that we skipped for this study, but Pastor Jenkins has studied those extensively in a series already. Those places, the old earth, is going to be dissolved away. Gone. The new heavens are going to replace the old heavens. So we have the planets tonight. We have the stars tonight. We have the galaxies tonight. We have our sun and moon and all that's going to be gone because it's going to dissolve away. God's going to replace it with a new heavens and a new earth. Why? Because the old heaven and the old earth have the curse. They have the curse of sin. There's nothing perfect about it. It was perfect one day when God created it, but when sin came into the world with Adam's sin, sin was then passed on and cursed the ground and the land and the water and the air. It'll all be gone. We get a new heaven. That's verse 1. You hit chapter 21. We get a new heaven. We get a new earth. It's going to be perfect. No curse, no sin, no wickedness, no evil, no Satan. Perfect. So we get a new Jerusalem as well. You start reading through these verses in chapter 21, we see heaven is also, this city of Jerusalem is also a city of great worth. If you read through chapter 21, verses 12 through 21, the great worth of the description of the new Jerusalem. If we tried to calculate it on a calculator, we couldn't calculate it. It's incalculable because our gold is flawed. Our gold on this planet today is probably one of the most precious things. That and diamonds and platinum are one of the precious things on the earth. But they're really under the curse, so they're not that pure. They're not that perfect. Can you imagine what the quality of the gold and the diamonds and the platinum in heaven are like? They're perfect. There's no comparison between the two. The precious stones, the valuable gems. Have you ever gone to the Smithsonian seeing the Hope Diamond? Or gone to, maybe you've traveled to England and you've been able to see in the Tower of London the crown jewels of England. Precious gems, but again, they're flawed. So, oh no, they're perfect. No, they're not perfect because they're under the curse. But when the Bible talks about in Revelation 21, all these precious gems, they're perfect. Their value is incalculable to us today. That's what makes Jerusalem beautiful, is all of God's beauty given to these perfect creation of jewels and gold. These are some of the ways that we describe value here upon the earth, yet these mentioned will be so much more valuable in the holy city. The most precious and greatest worth of all that will be in the New Jerusalem is not an object. It's the Lord. He will be there. For the New Jerusalem, the holy city, is God's dwelling place. So when it says the New Jerusalem came down from heaven, God is going to move. God is going to move from the third heavens to the New Jerusalem, and He's going to dwell in the New Jerusalem. That's where the temple's going to be. That's where we're going to go worship and praise Him. That's where the Savior's going to be. We're going to worship and praise Him. Amongst all this beauty, God's dwelling place. And He says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. That means that we have a residence in the New Jerusalem. This also in this chapter says in verses 22 through 27, the remainder of the chapter, that the great holy city, the New Jerusalem, is a great place of worship. The light here is eternal. The heavenly light will never dim, because where does the light come from? Notice it says in verse 23, and the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon. Notice it said, and the city had no need. The city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. God is the light in the New Jerusalem. There is no need of light. Have you ever seen light reflect off like a diamond ring or a watch face or some precious metal maybe you have in your earrings or in your rings, and you see the light reflect off of it and it shows off this prism of color? Can you imagine God's glory shining off all the beauty of heaven? Oh, it's going to be special. It's going to be special. The eternal focus in the New Jerusalem will not be on anything. It will be on Him. God and Jesus are the center of the New Jerusalem. That will be our focus. There'll be no distractions, only the beautiful, radiant, glorified light of God. And God's wanting us to reside there for all of eternity. Can you imagine the beauty? Can you imagine the wonder that we'll be surrounded with? But there's also, I'm just chomping at the bit. I got to jump ahead because this is so special. If we go back to verse 2, what we have are three locations given to us. In verse 2, we see that the holy city, the New Jerusalem, comes down from God out of heaven. It comes from the third heavens. There's three heavens mentioned in the Bible. There is the heaven of our atmosphere. That's where the birds fly. There's the heavens of the solar system, the planets, the galaxies, the stars. That's the second heaven. And the third heaven is God's abode. That's where God resides. When you're absent from the body and present with the Lord, your spirit is in that dwelling place, the third heaven that's up from here, that one day it's going to come down. One day it's going to come down from God to the new earth and to the new heaven. And we have three locations given to us in these verses of verse 1 and 2. In verse 1 we saw we have a new heaven. In verse 2, we see we have a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth are passed away, and there was no more sea. There's no more separation ever from God. But then in verse 2, we have the third location, a holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God. Now, we're going to do a quick Bible study. So bear with me. There's a lot of verses, but I want to show you this is not Brian Money telling you this. This is the Word of God teaching us this. 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, we can see in verse 10. 2 Peter 3:10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away, and a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works there that are therein shall be burned up. So the old earth, the old heavens are now gone. And this verse. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, what do we look for? The new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. The old earth and the old heaven will pass away, and we're going to get a new heaven and a new earth. in these verses, we're given two locations of the three that we've seen in Revelation 21. We're given the new heavens and the new earth. Now let's go over to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8. Remember Abraham? He was looking for something. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 8, notice, by faith Abraham, Hebrews 11, 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Notice verse 10, Hebrews 11. For he, Abraham, looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. So Abraham's looking for a city that God built that's not on this earth. In these verses, we have Abraham looking and longing for this city of God. Well, we saw that in Revelation 21. It's called the Holy City, the New Jerusalem. Now go back to Revelation, look at chapter 3. We're coming back to 21. In Revelation chapter 3, notice verse 12. Revelation 3:12, we see, him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God. What's it called? New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. Our residence, our home, the city that Abraham was looking for is the New Jerusalem that's mentioned in Revelation 21 and verse 3, or verse 2. It's the New Jerusalem. It's the holy city. It's our residence in heaven, but it's also God's residence. It's God's dwelling place. Now go back to Revelation 21. But now go to verse 10. In Revelation chapter 21 and verse 10, notice, Word of God says in Revelation 21:10, and he carried me away, this angel, carried John away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. Now what do we have in the verses that proceed? Verses 13 through verse 21, we have a description that we always hear about. Here's what heaven looks like. Streets of gold. We're going to walk on streets of gold. We're going to see the pearly gates. We're going to see the precious jewels in the walls. Yes, it's right here in the Scriptures. It's verse 13 through verse 21 talking about the holy city, the New Jerusalem, the dwelling place of God and our eternal residence. Want proof? Look at verse 14. And the wall of the city. Does it say the wall of heaven? No. Verse 14 says, and the wall of the city had 12 foundations. Verse 15, notice, and he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city. Not measure heaven. I've had some people that have been thrown off by the measurements of heaven. They're like, I'm going to live in a skyscraper-filled jungle of concrete. And they get discouraged because they see these measurements and it comes out to be 1,400 miles long, 1,400 miles wide, and 1,400 miles high. That's the measurements of the New Jerusalem, the dwelling place of God and our eternal residence. Now, how far is 1,400 miles? Anybody ever driven across country? About 3,000 miles, roughly. It could be a little more depending on what part of the country you've gone to. We've gone across country driving 6 times. It's a beautiful country. It takes a long time, except when you're in a hurry. I've done it in 3 days, and I don't advise that. But from New York City to Wichita, Kansas, is approximately 1,400 miles. Now, we're talking about a city. Now, you know how big New York City is. Millions and millions of people live in New York City. Skyscrapers fill the air. But as soon as you get out of the city, it's not skyscrapers anymore. Farmland, grasslands. 1,400 miles from New York City to Wichita, Kansas. How many people can you fit in that just from that line? Billions. Trillions. Then it goes 1,400 miles in the breadth or the width. So another 1,400 miles. And then it goes 1,400 miles up. But if we just looked at the circumference of the city of the New Jerusalem, 1,400 miles by 1,400 miles by 1,400 miles by 1,400 miles. It's 5,600 miles. So let's just say, for the sake of our brain, 6,000 miles. That's bigger than the United States, the circumference, if you went all the way around it. That's a big place. And it's just the New Jerusalem. And now it goes 1,400 miles up. We can't imagine it. It blows our mind to even think about this city. But it's talking about the city. All the beauty that's mentioned. Notice verse 18, and the building of the wall of it, of what it, what's that it, was of jasper, and the city was pure gold. What was pure gold? The city. Not heaven, the city. Don't lose track. I'm coming somewhere with this. Look at verse 19. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. Look at verse 21. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold. The city street. Pure gold. That's verse 23. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon. What had no need of the sun or the moon? The city. Notice chapter 22 and verse 14. Blessed are they to do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life. Oh, the tree of life. Remember that? And may enter in through the gates into the city. Where's the tree of life? In the city of God, the New Jerusalem. All right, look at verse 19, chapter 22. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city. Holy city. These verses are talking about and describing the heavenly, holy city of the New Jerusalem, the dwelling place of God. But what about the other two locations that were mentioned in verse 1 of Revelation 21? I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. What's the difference? So ask tonight, what is heaven? This is what I have never heard anybody talk about. And I had to spend several weeks making sure what I was reading was biblical. And what I have found is it is biblical. And I'm sure many people have preached on it. I've just never heard it. So it was like new revelation to me. I was like, whoa! Heaven's just not 1,400 miles long and 1,400 miles wide and 1,400 miles high. No, that's just the city. The holy city, the New Jerusalem. That's the dwelling place of God. And it comes down from heaven to the new heavens, to the new earth, and which are made by the new, by God without sin, without the curse. And the descriptions we have all heard and read about heaven is true, but it's talking about the holy city, the New Jerusalem. And remember, this place is huge. Huge. This holy city, this New Jerusalem, is the place where we go and worship God, and the saints of God praise God, and we cast our crowns at Jesus' feet. This is like the bride's been adorned. It's a vast city. Henry Morse, a Christian scientist and author, did the math for us on the size of the New Jerusalem. In our Bibles, it's given as furlongs. We don't measure in furlongs today. Verse 16. But he did the math for us. And he says 1,400 miles, it's approximately 1,400 miles long, 1,400 miles wide, 1,400 miles high. And he pointed out that if 20 billion people lived in heaven, in the New Jerusalem, now that's, he's going low on a number, because I think there's more than 20 billion people that are going to be in heaven. But he said if it was just 20 billion people in heaven, and they lived in the New Jerusalem, they would have about 75 acres apiece. Well, that's a lot of property. But that's just 25% of the new city. The holy city, the New Jerusalem. Just 25% is taken up by 20 billion people having 75 acres each. So you get a vision of how large the New Jerusalem is. Massive. But God is so good. He doesn't just give us a city to enjoy for all of eternity. He gives us a new heaven and a new earth to enjoy as well. The New Jerusalem is like our home base. That's where our residence is. That's where the redeemed are going to have a mansion given to them. We'll talk about that later on. But we're equally inheriting the new heavens, the new universe, and a new earth without sin, without the curse, without anything that gives you displeasure here in this life. Mosquitoes, no-see-ums, yellow jackets. Yeah, I can envision in heaven mosquitoes flying around, but they're just friendly. They don't suck your blood. Yeah, I've had a child ask me one time in Sunday school classes, why didn't Noah squish the mosquitoes when they came on the ark? That's a good question, because I don't like them either. About as much as I like a snake. Mr. Phil and I agree with that. That snake comes in my yard, he's trespassed. He's a dead snake. I don't care if he's a, you know, it's a garter. It's a snake. Now think of this. I've got a lot of Bible here. We don't have a lot of time. But think of this. The Bible tells us that we're going to be changed. We're going to be given a new body. A body like Christ. Now you think of what Christ was able to do. I don't think we're going to be exactly like Christ and what He could do, because He went through a wall when all the doors and windows were shut. Remember when He came into the disciples in the upper room? He ate, He walked, He talked in a glorified body. What happened outside of the city when He departed from His disciples? He arose into the clouds, returned to heaven. There's great debates, and I have no proof or answer for us tonight. And I probably won't until we get to heaven. But we're going to be able to enjoy the new heavens physically. Not just looking through a microscope. We're going to go to the planets, to the solar systems, to the galaxies. We're going to experience the new heavens. Because God has created them. Why did God create them? So they could sing His glory? Yes. But also for His creation to enjoy. And we'll be able to travel into the new heavens. But we'll also be able to travel the new earth. How? Don't know. But we'll be able to travel the new earth. Ever been any places on this planet that you'd love to have seen but probably won't see in your lifetime? Sure. We all have a bucket list of some sort. Well, it's going to be even better. Ever been to Paris or London or seen the Swiss Alps? Oh, they're beautiful places to go in the world. The Great Barrier Reef in Australia. Beautiful places, but they're going to even be better because they're going to be perfect. And there's no ocean, there's no seas in the new heaven and the new earth. Verse 1, Revelation 21. There's nothing to separate us from God. So, what is heaven? It's everything that we've already been taught and believed. But that's just part of it. And it's a big part, because it's where God is. That's where our Savior is. That's where we'll praise and worship God. But we'll also be given the opportunity and pleasure and the ability to see this new earth that God has created. Now, the best way to understand and try to visualize this new earth is go back to the Garden of Eden before the curse, before sin. What was in the garden? Flowers, trees, fruit trees, animals, fish. What was in the garden? It's going to be in the new earth. So anything that we have enjoyed seeing on this planet, part of God's creation, is going to be in the new creation. He's given us a new planet. He's given us a new universe to enjoy for all of eternity. Plus, bonus, the New Jerusalem with all of its beauty, with everything that we have calculated as worth in this life. It'll be used as decoration in that world. And so many more times better. Because it's perfect. Pure. What a glorious eternity we have before us. Can you imagine traveling the planets? I don't know how. We'll have a glorified body. Can you imagine going to some beautiful place and just sitting and praising God and His creation? Can you imagine walking into the temple of God and be able to see Jesus face to face, praise Him and worship Him and thank Him, and to enjoy the beauty that He has in that wonderful, wonderful city? Heaven is not a city of skyscrapers and concrete. It's so much more. It's our eternal home that I'm more than ready now to go see it. How about you? Do you have a residence there? Do you know your names written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Remember that verse we read in Revelation 22? Revelation 22 and verse 19, if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life. Well, how do you get your name in the book of life? The Lamb's Book of Life means that you have had your sins covered by the Lamb's blood. Who's the Lamb? Jesus. And it says in verse 19, out of the holy city, you are no longer going to be able to be with the crowd of friends that maybe you hang out with today, because you won't be in the holy city You won't be in the new earth. You won't be in the new heavens. You will be in hell. Because, not because God doesn't love you, but because you have rejected His work on the cross for you. So tonight I ask, have you trusted Jesus as your personal Savior? He died for your sins. He desires to give you the gift of eternal life, to reside with Him for all of eternity in these beautiful places He's created. Are you ready? Are you ready? I long for home more now than I did before I started studying this. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for opening my eyes. Maybe this is old stuff to some people, but you opened my eyes and showed me something that has helped me to realize how beautiful heaven is going to be. Oh, my home of the happy and free. I can't wait, Lord. I long for the day to see your face. I long for the day that I might be able to praise you and worship you correctly, how I've wanted to for all these years, without sin, without distraction. And Lord, if there's somewhere tonight that doesn't know you as a Savior, I pray before they leave this property tonight, they would bow their head and ask you to forgive their sins and to truly come into their heart. Give them the gift of eternal life. I pray they would do that tonight. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Be with us, direct us, guide us. Help us to long for home. This earth is not home. It's just temporary. I'm just a passing through. Thank you and praise you, Lord, for what you've shown us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.